When you break down, I'll drive out and find you. I love that promise so much. I'll stay by you when it don't come easy. I love that promise even more. I find the song we just heard so moving. It moves me because it's honest. It acknowledges that being human is so hard. Our best intentions may not be enough. Year after year, what we do is undone. All the signs seem blown away. I feel all of that. I feel it for myself. I feel it for my country. I feel it for the world. I wonder if we're ever going to get home. It's a spiritual ache. Every day something happens. Every single day. By now, I should see it coming, but it still surprises me. I find myself praying for help, looking for places to take refuge. Recently, my sister-in-law asked me how I was doing. I paused and I let out this huge sigh. And then I thought for a moment and I realized my own life is going pretty well. It's busy, but it's good. Yet I still felt like there was something terribly wrong. Like my best intentions may not be enough. I have heard the rallying cries to do more, to speak up, to do something. Yes, yes, yes. Taking action is what we need to be doing. Living our values has never been more important. Acting as a shield against fear, a beacon of sanctuary, a force for radical love. But friends, don't forget that when it don't come easy, this community will be there to sustain your spirit. When we break down, when we feel like we can't go on, at those moments, this church. At those moments, the people in this church. At those moments, we are a congregation that shows up for each other. We may not use the language of sanctuary, but we provide sanctuary for each other all the time. Chalice circles, parents' nights out, oversized birthday cards, potlucks, owls, even hanging out after the service and drinking coffee until 2 p.m. All of these spiritual practices keep us feeling nurtured and cared for. This worship service, too. Maybe it's the shared moments of silence or the majestic sounds of Katja's organ or being together with friends. Maybe it's the songs. Maybe you find God in this place. We come together to act as a safe haven. Whatever brings you back, I urge you to take a moment and let it fill you up. Listen, we all want to be seen and loved for who we are. For someone to say, I see you in the fullness of your being, and I love you for who you are. We long for someone to say, I will care for you when it don't come easy. That happens here. Now, what are the limits of our community? How big is our circle of love? Back in September, Reverend Kristen preached about radical hospitality. She urged us, welcome every person who walks through the doors. Welcome the teenager in the Panic in the Disco t-shirt. Welcome the toddler squirming in the pews. Welcome people who cross themselves after praying. Welcome people who may be, feel so moved by the Spirit, they want to get up and dance. It is our call to welcome everyone in the fullness of their being, even if it makes us a little uncomfortable. And our hospitality not only welcomes strangers, but recognizes their holiness and receives their blessings. Loving our neighbor as ourself means loving everyone who shows up. So when I think of welcoming, it makes me think of my Aunt Olame's house. Now, Aunt Olame's house was small and not at all fancy. Threadbare carpet, a couch with a comfortable sag in the middle, faded wallpaper. But Aunt Olame's house had a pecan tree in the backyard, a screened porch that ran all along the back, and so many good smells coming from the kitchen. When I went to Aunt Olame's house, I never worried about whether I was going to track dirt into the house. I wiped my feet on the mat, but I knew my shoes were just fine the way they were. I knew I could sit on that couch without feeling that cold, plasticky cover protecting the cushions. I knew Aunt Olame kept a closet filled with fun, probably slightly dangerous toys, special for her under 12 visitors. When I visited other relatives' houses, I found a secret place to hide, usually under the bed with the dust, and I would read until my mother forced me to be polite. But when I went to Aunt Olame's house, I went in the kitchen and listened to the women gossip as they cooked. I wandered into the living room and watched football with the men. I went out back and gathered pecan for the pies. That house made everyone feel comfortable. I want us to be Aunt Olame's house. Now, loving our neighbor as ourselves means throwing the door wide open and inviting people in, but it doesn't stop there. Like Aunt Olame, we have to make sure everyone feels warm and comfortable. You know, I'm always struck by the fact that our huge, slightly austere sanctuary is still warm. It's important for us to keep the heat on. Loving our neighbor as ourselves starts with sharing that warmth. And when we practice that in the safety of this space, we can do more out in the world. In our reading for today, Reverend Janice Marie Johnson talked about new ways to expand our circles of love. She asked us to consider that perhaps our great spiritual task is to walk with people, to accompany hurting people through difficult times. She calls us to broaden our view, to make our circles bigger. When we expand our circle of love, we ourselves grow in spirit. Our social justice work is more authentic if we are sharing risk and not just doing what is comfortable. There is value in tying your fate to the fate of others. Alicia Garcia calls this becoming, and I love this, co-conspirators. Beyond being an ally for justice, to work as hard for justice as those who are suffering from injustice. Honestly, we already know that. We UUs like to get involved. We pitch in. When houses in Sonoma and Napa burned down, we immediately offered shelter. When equality is threatened, we make calls, we organize rallies for justice. Recently, when our Balzac scholar asked for supplies and bicycle equipment, one email was all it took to supply what she needed. But I think our sanctuary could extend even further. As the Tubbs and Atlas fires raged, news story after news story broke my heart, just as I'm sure it did yours. The fires caused so much devastation and damage. Those photos of our neighbors picking through the ashes of their beloved homes. The story of Odin and protecting his goats. His owner feeling grateful even though everything else had been destroyed. But one story stood out for me. One county official estimated there are 20,000 undocumented immigrants in Sonoma County alone. She calls those immigrants the backbone of our economy. Undocumented immigrants harvest the grapes in the vineyard. Undocumented immigrants clean hotel rooms and bus tables at restaurants. Undocumented immigrants live and work in those counties, raising their children and trying to make a living on wages too low for their American neighbors to accept. Those undocumented immigrants also lost their homes and their jobs. They lost everything. But unlike other Sonoma and Napa residents, many undocumented immigrants didn't go to shelters. Some went to Bodega Bay and spent nights on the beach. A city supervisor says, "I saw dozens of families. They're traumatized, they lost homes, it's cold out there. But they're afraid they'll be targeted by immigrant officials if they go to shelters." Think about that. People, our neighbors, who had been left homeless by fire, were afraid to seek refuge. Being asked to give their names to shelter officials made some too fearful to stay. Seeing the National Guard caused others to flee. Having just lost their homes, they also had to be worried about being rounded up and deported. And we live in California, a state that has declared itself a sanctuary state. Sonoma and Napa had been declared disaster areas, and it still took 5 days for ICE to officially suspend operations in the region. Even now, a rumor is spreading that an undocumented immigrant started all of the fires. Even in the face of tragedy, the director of ICE says to immigrants, "If you're in this country illegally and you committed a crime by entering the country, you should be uncomfortable. You should look over your shoulder." He said the government's message had to be as clear as possible. There is no safe haven here. The current administration is intentionally creating a culture of fear. They want people to look over their shoulders, to worry about going to work, to be nervous about when they drop their kids off at school. Many parents now carry notarized letters assigning care of their children to friends or relatives in case of deportation. Even during the deadliest wildfires in California history, ICE wants people to feel like they could be snatched away at any moment. Now, plenty of Americans would say, "Good." Some Americans would say, "Immigrants need to go back where they came from." Too many Americans would say, "Undocumented immigrants are getting what they deserve." As you use, our faith demands a different response from us. Our response needs to be more love. That may sound wishy-washy, but love is a radical choice when offered in the face of bigotry and fear. Love is a choice. We think that love comes welling up out of nowhere, comes over us, overwhelms us. We think about love as romance and that sweet smell of a newborn baby's head. But radical, inclusive love takes practice. And when we practice it, we get better. Love is a muscle, and we need to exercise it. Love also isn't always easy. It may be easy to love the DACA recipient brought to the United States at the age of 6, someone who gets straight A's in college and just wants that American dream. But what about her parents, who don't speak English and who came here without papers? Do we love them? What about her cousin, who committed a felony as a teenager, served his time, and then gets picked up by ICE? Do we love him? What would it take to love him? To believe that the ex-felon also deserves to be part of our community. People who make terrible mistakes are also worthy of love. Can we open our arms and value them with their inherent worth and dignity? That level of love takes practice. We need to flex our muscles and get to work. Listen, we cannot force our nation to open its borders to immigrants. We cannot recreate the houses and jobs burned in the firestorm. We cannot fix our broken world. We can't even create just and effective immigration policy. But we can be a shelter, a sanctuary in the storm. We can offer healing for the brokenness. At those moments, this church. At those moments, the people in this church. At those moments, we are a congregation that shows up for everyone. Loving our neighbor means accompanying them through hard times. When they break down, we have to drive out and find them. When they forget they're loved, we have to remind them. Ours cannot be a caravan of despair. When cynicism and fear fouls the air, we have a remedy. Come, come, whoever you are. Find sanctuary here. And then, together, we will spread sanctuary everywhere. May it be so. Amen.